warning, this is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it, Dan? Can you feel it, Jim Bab?
Oh, yes. Yes, I can feel it. Jim Jesus.
Oh, right. And the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org. So how are you guys doing today?
Awesome. Great to be with you, finally.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been on the Fiend, so let's see how this goes.
And neither of us have done a show with each other yet.
Yeah, none of us have, and that's really, it's going to be fun, so.
All right. Finally, the Fiend supercomputer has randomly assigned us as co-hosts in the Fiendosphere tonight.
Worms. All right, so we have some interesting stories here. You want to pick one?
Oh, there's so much happening, so much to talk about. What do you think about that? I sent you guys the link about the holographic rap show. Did you guys check that out? That was banned by the police.
Yeah, that was weird, man.
But this isn't the first time we see this. And I think, 1985 called and wanted their moral outrage back. What is this, Two Live Crew all over again?
Well, you know, the buried lead in that story, and, you know, we can do a quick recap for those that didn't hear it, but evidently this rapper, which I had never heard of before, but it doesn't mean he's not famous, he really did this like a... It's like a promotional genius move of not only, like, he couldn't go to this, to the Midwest due to outstanding warrants. So he was going to, like, phone it in via hologram, okay? Which, you know, that sounds incredible, right? Like, that's the buried lead. Like, you can phone in a holographic show now, right? I thought that was outstanding. Maybe we'll have holographic fiends on Fiend Phone one day.
Yeah, I think, but I think Tupac already kind of abused that one already, and he was dead.
Well, I really have to see a while ago. Yeah, shows.
Yeah, me too. But I guess Tupac did the same thing after he died. They had a big show, and Tupac came out as a hologram, and it freaked everybody out. And it's probably will freak out a lot of people too. That's probably why they banned it. You know, we don't want people to be freaked out. Freedom.
Well, my understanding is that Rahm Emanuel, the mayor of Chicago and Obama buddy, he decreed that this rapper was not a good role model. So based on this information, a previous theater had banned the show. So now this is like, oh, everybody's like, oh, I don't know. He's not a good role model, says Rahm Emanuel. So they sent in the police to stop a holographic rap show. Genius, yeah, right?
I don't know if that's, I mean, for a politician in Chicago, for you to say that you're a bad role model, that's either, it's really bad for you, or it's really stupid for him. I don't know which one.
Yeah. I don't know. I did have a theory, though, that, you know, this rapper, since I had never heard of him, and I'm drawing a blank on his name right now, but...
Chief Keef.
Chief Keef, right. Chief cool name. Keef. How much would it cost to get Rahm Emanuel to condemn you? Like, if like it's an ultimate career move, right, for a young up-and-coming rapper? Like, and I'm thinking a guy like Rahm Emanuel, you could probably buy him for cheap. What do you think?
Is this a conspiracy theory already?
It's an inside job, right? It's a total inside job. It's just a little too scripted. And I read the article out of the New York Times. Like, wow, the New York Times is actually reporting on this. And it's like his producer says, and I'm like, it sounds like this is a little contrived. I'm just throwing it out as a possible theory. What do you think, Dan?
I don't know. It's an interesting theory, you know, possibly. I just think it's kind of weird banning representations of people because that's, where does that end? Do you know what I mean? It's like they're not even banning a person. Banning a person from doing a gig is bad enough, but then banning a representation of someone doing a gig is just insanity, surely by anyone's standards. It's crazy, but like... Sorry, go on, Jeff.
Maybe the future is, like, if you want to do any kind of a live show or performance or public appearance or speech or poetry reading or whatever, you go before Rahm Emanuel's panel of experts, and he will evaluate your moral character and determine if you are deemed worthy of being a role model for the citizenry. And if so, your performance will proceed. If not, sorry, right?
Yeah. I just have one thing to add. Holograms don't melt steel beams, okay? So
they do if they're made with chemtrails, okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
Touche.
But then, see, if we're doing this, though, and we're saying, like, you can't have representations of people, what then happens? So if, like, someone's deemed a bad role model, does that mean that pictures of them can be banned in places? Do you know what I mean? Does that mean that if someone looks at a picture of them on their phone in a certain place, then they're bringing their representation of this evil person up? Maybe I'm
Why
just
not?
Going
in
a
fact,
bit far, but...
right. It's just the next logical step, Dan.
That only follows. I'm just waiting for them to bring back Odorous Urungus back from a hologram, and then it's going to cause another slew of controversy, you know, because apparently Odorous Urungus was far worse than Chief Keef could ever be.
Tell us more about this heroic artist.
So Odorous Urungus was the former singer of the band Gwar, which purported themselves to be an alien or demigod race from outer space who was condemned to Earth on Antarctica. And I can't really go into much detail about his costume, especially parts of the front, but needless to say that they had to make him wear pants over his costume.
I hate it when that happens.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, it wasn't anything bad. It was just a fish. Cuttlefish of Cthulhu. And, I mean, yeah, there's so many of, quote-unquote, bad role models, you know, and the reason why they're picking this guy out, it seems like he had, outstanding warrants in the Midwest.
Right, and there was one part of the story, something about when he was a youth, he pointed a gun at a policeman, and he was on probation, and he was, like, wanted for probation violations. Now, to me, I think somebody on Facebook pointed this out. They said, wait a minute, that sounds really suspicious that a young black man could point a gun at a cop and survive.
Yeah, I'm
so again, the it's like... I was going to say, was the concert not supposed to be for, like, it was like a charity as well? It was to do with gun violence, wasn't it?
Exactly. I mean, I couldn't really follow, but it was some kind of a charity event, or maybe that was some other shows that are banned. I can't really keep up with all the details, but it's, I was just grateful that we have these politicians like Rahm Emanuel out there, you know, willing to take time from his busy day running Chicago to help us choose our role models. You know, it's really touching.
Yeah. Any minute they're going to bring back Jello Biafra to trial. Just don't worry about it. The PMRC will be back in full swing, Tipper Gore and all of it. So we're going to be banning music all over again.
I saw nice. A thing, I don't know if it was true or not, but it was like, it was supposed to be, they were supposed to do a hologram of Gigi Allen at the Coachella festival next year. He's supposed to throw feces at the crowd, was the headline I read. Holographic feces, what? I assume.
I would only hope so, right?
Who is that lead singer of the Mentors? They should bring him back too, with Odorous and all the dead crazy singers that did obscene things on stage that got banned all over the country, and just bring on a holograph festival and just let them all just play and offend everybody, and let all the get all the mayors of all the towns get their jimmies in a rustle. That's what I want to say.
Kickstarter festival. We'll call it, yeah, the Jimmy Russell Fest.
Oh, I'm there. I'm still buying a ticket.
Who's nobody thought of this?
Oh, I'm copywriting it right now.
There you go.
Don't steal my idea.
But, you know, I was also thinking this holographic, like, show really is a technological breakthrough for, like, record producers. And, you know, it's kind of been a shady industry, but they've been trying to eliminate the artists from the equation for a long time, right? Like, computer-generated music and, you know, it's like it's all a sophisticated business except for the weak link is usually some irresponsible artist character that they, you know, gave the role to. So now it could be just a computer-generated front man in the band, right? Like, maybe Sangeeta could get the gig.
That's interesting. There's that show Black Mirror, and there was an episode of that where basically they had, like, it was basically a guy controlling a cartoon, but then the cartoon character started running for Parliament, and was starting to, like, beat out the big parties and stuff like that. And it's an interesting thought because, like, obviously everyone gravitated to the cartoon character because the cartoon character was funny and not real. But that's a good point you make because then, like you said, you know, like, a lot of these songs are written and played by someone else anyway, so it's they only just need the person to sell the music. So if they... You know, they can get rid of, you know, divas and people that cost them a lot of money by just generating a representation of the perfect person.
Interesting. So you're saying the cartoon character became more popular?
Yeah.
I'm wondering if this explains Donald Trump in some way.
In Japan, they've been doing this for quite a while. There's an artist named Hatsune Miku, I think. I don't know how to say it right. But she's this little anime girl, and she's got these long teal things, and they usually do shows. And when they do shows, it's a hologram. And I started seeing that first, and then the Tupac thing came. And now we're seeing this, and now everybody's getting offended. So anime girls, rappers, and... Odorous Urungus.
They're all going to be on the bill at Jimmy Russell Fest.
Go to Ticketmaster.com. Don't really.
Well, and the cool thing is, like, every town could have the same show going on at the same time.
And some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
And we're starting a Kickstarter campaign for an all hologram related festival, but a kick because all the holograms have to be incredibly controversial. We haven't discussed whether they can be alive or dead in real life.
We or haven't just fictional got that characters.
Oh, it'll be a 3-day event. We'll start off with all the live people, then we'll go on to all the people that we just are going to assume are going to die soon, and then we'll go on to the actual dead people. You can't lose.
Not a bad plan.
Well, wait, where are the fictional characters in the lineup?
Oh yeah, that's a good point. Maybe we should just knock out that middle day and just make that all fictional characters. You know, we have Rick and Morty doing a rap thing. That'll be perfect.
Or mix and match, you know, like an anime character with Tupac or, you know, Michael Jackson and John Wayne. Like, it could be anything. Anything.
You don't get any more controversial. There's no limit now. Yeah, you don't get any more controversial than Michael Jackson. Is that too soon?
I think it's been enough time now. I think
I'm gonna do a Bill Cosby stand up.
That may be too soon.
he would be a total knockout.
Oh, that's too soon. Oh, we're going to have to think of a lineup.
Yeah, we're going to have to change that somewhat.
Yeah.
Depends how far you want to go, you know. Because you could have, like, I don't know. I mean, you could have anything that could go as far as you want it to go. You could have, like, the tent that people go when they've taken too much drugs and just Salvador Dali's there. I'm not sure what he's doing. Maybe he's holding an ocelot or something, you know, and doing something generally weird.
I think it's time to take a ride down the slippery slope and ask what's going to come next. Are we going to see another rise in the PMRC? Are we going to see, like, tipper stickers on event tickets now? What's the end game here? You know, are we going to try to nail Prince again for cursing on his records and being obscene?
Yeah, because it does seem like it's like almost a revival of that feeling, isn't it? And it's just so stupid because, I mean, what was the thing? I knew there was that kind of campaign against rock music in like the 80s, and was it not just a load of sort of rich bored housewives that had nothing better to do than be outraged by everything?
Which time are you talking about? Is it when Elvis was shaking his pelvis in the wrong way, or
I'm talking about the
Beatles had the wrong haircut? Or
yeah, that was with the Parents Music Resource Council in the 80s or in early 90s, I believe. And it was mostly fronted by Tipper Gore. And there was a few other people like the Back and Control Center, which was like a group of cops from Orange County. And they were just coming up with like absurd things like that. You know, if your kid wears a Megadeth shirt, that means that, you know, or a heavy metal shirt, that, you know, he's going to commit suicide. You know, that the Jewish Star of David is a sign of Satan. And they were just making all these weird claims. And they wanted to have a series of different stickers, not just the tipper sticker, which means, you know, the parental advisory sticker that you see now. They wanted to have one for a cult. They wanted to have one for sexual content. They wanted to have one for violence. And I think they had a couple more. And one of the first things they did was take Jello Biafra, who was the lead singer of the punk rock band we all know and love, the Dead Kennedys, and try to get him on obscenity charges for one of the inserts on his albums, which was a J.R. I can't remember the guy's name, J.R. Grieger. He did a lot of artwork. I think he developed the design for Alien, award-winning artist. And he had the centerfold in the album of that, and it was very graphic, admittedly, but they tried to get the album banned for doing that. So that's a history of that.
When was the guy from Twisted Sister, like, didn't they send him into Congress to stand up for rock music? Remember that?
Yeah, that was the same time. Yeah, that was about the same time. And he wowed everybody because he knew, like, he wasn't just some weirdo on drugs that they thought he was going to be. So they thought it was going to be a cakewalk. You know, this guy who wears, you know, weird makeup and dresses like a girl, he has no way he could be smart, right? Wrong. Dee was very smart. He knew exactly what he was talking about, and he just made a concrete, beautiful argument against what they were doing. It was beautiful. And you can actually go and look up the thing on YouTube. I think Dee Snyder is, I think, his name. And then type in PMRC, and you'll definitely find it, or his congressional speech.
I think that was the peak of his career, right? Like,
probably.
I think later he ended up endorsing Obama or something, like, really silly.
Or he was on Celebrity Apprentice, but I thought we weren't going to talk about Trump anymore.
Worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org. Worms. Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends. I'm Jim Babb, and I am broadcasting from the Village Washtub in Southwest Harbor, Maine. We're joined also by Jim Jesus, Double J, in Las Vegas, Nevada, and Dan Green in Scotland, avoiding the Queen. He is not a subject.
By the way, I live in Nevada, not Nevada, okay? It's a point of contention with people in Nevada. Like, if I was in the Sierra Nevadas, that'd be a different story, but I'm not, so.
Yeah. Well, all I know is Sierra Nevada beer. That's, you know, that's all I know, so.
Yeah. Anyway, beer, Nevada.
It's the miracle of Fiend phone. It's the miracle of Fiend phone and the global Fiend operation that we are allowed to have this conversation right now. It's amazing. So great to be with you guys.
Yeah. So let's talk about beer. Since you brought it up, let's talk about beer. What were we waiting for? Music and offensive? No. Beer. That's more important. So apparently,
I'm a big beer fan. I don't know. What about you guys?
Oh, I'm huge. I love craft beer. I'm a big craft beer enthusiast. I used to go down to the Stone Brewery all the time before, you know, when it was just in the little hole in the wall in the industrial complex. But now it's got like this huge brewery with this huge garden and restaurant. And it's crazy, but nice. Huge craft beer fan. Huge craft beer.
Excellent. What about you, Dan?
Oh, yeah, but, you know, I'm Scottish, so... As long as you put it in front of me and it's drinkable, I'm fine. I don't need it to be special. I just need it to work.
Okay. All right. You're a practical drinker.
I can respect that. I can totally respect that. Well, you guys probably saw this headline, and I saw this. I'm like, oh, no. It came from Venezuela. Or as I call it, the Venezuela Project.
That touches me deeply.
This headline scared me to death because we all know what Venezuela's been going through. It seems like end stage of socialism, where they ran out of toilet paper like a year ago. They've got a black market for everything now, and it's like just gets worse and worse, and as it spirals down, the rulers just try to grab more power and control over more industries, and you know it's like a flaming crash waiting to happen. So, but anyway, this headline says Venezuela could stop making beer by August as local breweries run out of ingredients needed to produce the country's most popular alcoholic drink. The brewery shutdown would reduce the country's beer supply by a terrifying 80%. Local breweries say they're down to their final batches of barley malt and other imported products needed to make beer, okay? Thanks to Venezuela's strict currency controls that have made it almost impossible to purchase supplies. There you have it.
And, you know, I don't think I could live in a place like that without beer. I need to forget that I'm in that hellhole.
You'd think they would make that plentiful, like, and even in the book 1984, they've always got the gin and stuff around for them, you know, because
the gin and cigarettes, that was top priority. Food.
I'm guessing the black market's got this covered. What do you guys think? Do you think they're really not going to have beer, or are they going to be like, whole cargo container ships are like coming in from Vermont or California?
Well, that's the thing, because you can get, you know, beer in, say, most countries in the world, it's good, it's more plentiful, so it'd be easier, you would think, to, you know, for people to get a hold of it, to sneak it in. You know, you don't need such high level connections as you might for something like heroin or something. But I know what you mean, like, there's always going to be a black market to fill these needs. I mean, there's stuff in every country that's wildly illegal, but you can get it on most street corners. But it's just going to be, it depends then, do you think that the government would then crack down on that? Do you think they're going to
they have to, but they also need a little bit of black market because the people running the government need beer, right? Yeah. Like,
that's the problem. They've had too much. They have to stop drinking right now and go on the wagon.
But that may be a terrible move, because now you have a bunch of people who aren't drowning their sorrows and starting to realize what's going on, and they might have a violent revolution on their hands.
So, they might sober up and be like, what? Socialism? What? Seriously? What, 2015? What? Wait a minute. Whoa, that's the one where everybody starves to death. No.
See, that's Please, the thing. I'm surprised by this because, like we were saying, if I was in the government there, I mean, intoxicants would be my top priority. I'd be legalizing drugs left, right, and center just to keep myself in power.
But the problem is there's a productivity cost for your serfs, or subjects, as you call them over there. They have to be drugged enough to comply, but not so out of it that they can't work the tin mines. I don't know what they're doing over there, the coal mines or.
You're going to have yourself an anarcho-monarchy? Is that what we're going to go for now? I'm just a king. You just give me whatever you want, and I just make sure you keep this capitalism thing working. Let's go. Come on.
Although, here's
some beer. Free beer.
There's an argument in favor of that monarchy thing. Like, some people have been, I don't necessarily agree with it, but some people say, well, if you think about it this way, if you've got a hereditary monarchy, they're not just politicians who are going to be out of office in so many years. They can just, you know, trash the place all they want and then leave, because if they really have to leave it to their children and their children's children, they're going to take greater care of the country, shall we say, because they want their kids to have it and their kids to have it and blah, blah, blah. It's an interesting argument. I'm not saying I buy it. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, that worked out really well in the 18th century.
Right, and that's also why plantation owners would never beat their slaves, because they wanted to have nice slaves for the next generation. Right? They never abused their.
But I think I just thought of something. So essentially, if they're running low on beer, we can expect there to be lines to get beer. Correct.
Theoretically, you know, and now they have a whole industry set up, I'm sure, where you can pay somebody to be in line for you.
That's true, but there would still be a line, and the ingredients that go into beer are basically grains, water, yeast, you know, everything except eggs would make bread. So essentially we're going to have liquid bread lines in Venezuela. That's really something to think about.
Well, you know what? Maybe
beer
we
is
organize.
Bread.
Listen, you know, we have some contacts in the brewing industry, right? They're listening right now to the show, and I want to just put the word out. If you work at a brewery, this is what I want to do. I want to organize an emergency airdrop, okay? Where we fly in pallets and pallets of high quality American beer, and just to help out these poor Venezuelans as like a relief effort.
That might not be a bad idea. I should go buy a boat and make $1 million smuggling beer to Venezuela.
But I don't know. Is that? Can you make more money than smuggling toilet paper to Venezuela? I don't know.
I think as of right now, I think that might be a little bit more valuable. But then again, you know, you might, if you don't have it, you might settle for beer to wash away the sorrow of not having toilet paper.
That would be a tough one for me, you know, beer or toilet paper. Yeah, I would have to stand and think about that for a while if I had to pick one.
There was a Budweiser commercial that was about that, where they didn't have enough money for beer. So they were like, or didn't have enough money for beer and toilet paper, so they had to choose the beer. And then they were like, you know, paper or plastic? And they were like, paper. You know, yeah, I'll take the receipt.
Well, did I hear when they were doing the toilet paper shortage where the leaders had, it wasn't their central planning that was failing, of course. The fact that there was a run on toilet paper was a sign that how much everyone was eating. And everyone is eating so much in this wonderful, prosperous, socialist paradise that, of course, they can't keep up with the toilet paper demand.
Oh, good old Soviets. Ben.
Socialist logic, isn't it?
They always have something. Oh, it's another drought again this year. Oh, it's a terrible drought. Oh, it's a famine. We couldn't possibly have foreseen this. I'm sorry that your whole town had to just eat the children of the neighboring town to survive. I mean, it's just beautiful. Amazing they still try this stuff. And as we alluded to earlier, the Venus Project is basically the same thing, only run by a supercomputer, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that what that is?
Yeah. Essentially, they want to have a government to transition to this state where they could just use AI to determine, you know, what resources can be calculated depending on what people want. But, you know, we all know what happens if you have a socialist state transitioning to this, you know, utopia with no money or classes. I think we've tried this a few times before and everybody gave up. Even North Korea gave up. They're starting to go towards the fascist route. I mean, economic fascism, not just I hate you, so I'm going to call you a fascist. But, yeah. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
But, you know, liquid bread lines in Venezuela, that's all.
Liquid bread lines, they're probably forming right now. There's people probably like you know, or they're, in another generation, they'll be like, well, I hear in America, they don't even give their citizens beer. Oh. Thank like goodness for dear leader.
Yeah, then the toilet paper, you know, like, you know, hey, where'd you get that toilet paper? You know, where'd you buy that toilet paper? Oh, I got it back from the cleaners.
Oh, and of course, then there's the PR campaign to snitch on your relatives about their toilet paper abuse, right?
He used 3 sheets. I heard about it. He didn't use the 2 sheets and fold it in half like we were supposed to.
Like we learned in school.
Yeah.
If you see something, say something. Yeah.
If you see something, try not to vomit first and then say something.
Inform your block party captain immediately.
Oh, man.
It is kind of the next logic. I mean, do you think that this is sort of going to, you know, eventually come to the U.S.? I mean, or are we going to be able to dodge this kind of thing? Or is this where we're headed with Bernie Sanders at the helm?
There's no way they're voting for him. I'm sorry. There's no way he's getting elected. No possible way. No way.
I don't know.
And I know a lot of people try to spin it like, oh, maybe he could, but there's no possible way. America hates socialism, and thank God. Worms.
Well, I guess we'll see. But yet they love it when Donald Trump does socialism, right?
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to present the 3rd Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It will be held at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan from August 7th through the 10th. There will be vending, discussions, presentations, all sorts of activities for children and adults, and bacon, lots of bacon. Round up your friends and family and get them registered today at miplc.org. That's miplc.org. Dogs welcome. Longer leashes recommended.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Freedom Fiends, drugging the state's drink since 2011, and I'm here with my good buddies Dan Green and Jim Babb. How you guys doing?
Awesome.
Good.
And speaking of drinks, we were talking about Venezuela and how they're not able to get the ingredients necessary for beer, and so now we're talking about a black market. A black market in beer and liquid bread lines, since beer is essentially bread without eggs. And more water.
See, it's things like this. It's shortages of basics like beer that lead to the horrors of potato-based vodka. I mean, we should be thinking about this.
It's true. It's like it's all gonna be like hard liquor and moonshine from, you know, for those guys.
Yeah, and there's gonna be a potato famine, like in Ireland, right?
Hey, totally old man.
How many potatoes does it take to kill an Irishman? None.
This is just this too racial soon. Abuse is just appalling. I think that was a hate crime, Jim.
Nothing is sacred for me. So, reading this article, it looks like they're probably not going to be able to get it on the black market either, since trying to convert their crummy dollars to U.S. crummy dollars is because it's so much crummier than ours. And it looks like they can't be able to do it and to make black market transactions. So,
all right, well,
they're probably going to be stuck without beer. Yeah.
Well, let me just speak directly now to our fans in Venezuela. That you send me Bitcoin, I will send you beer. Okay, we can work on this problem, right? And just like my friends in Greece, that I know you're listening, you send me some kind of like Kalamata olives or olive oil, and I will send you Bitcoin. Okay, we can make this happen. This is the global network. We can do it.
Maybe we should start a Silk Road for black market items in countries that that aren't illegal for us at least yet, but maybe needed, in other places like toilet paper, bread, beer.
I don't know. That sounds pretty dangerous to me. I've seen what happens to other guys that have tried running a website to sell stuff, and the state doesn't take too kindly to that.
You have the thing like the head shops like that are based in Amsterdam. A lot of them do mail order and stuff, but like on their websites, it's like, look, this is legal here. We will ship it to you. We don't know what the law is in your country. It's not our fault, but we will take your money. That's sort of it.
Well, Mark Emery doing a huge seed business from Canada, right? Sort of under that same guideline, and he was just so successful at it. Eventually, if you get really good at it, the local folks here don't want you cutting in on their market, so they'll go after you overseas.
Are you talking about like cannabis seeds?
Yeah, I don't remember what the name.
We are talking about Mark Emery.
Yeah. So,
because
anyway,
are they illegal there? Because like here, the cannabis seeds are perfectly legal. It's just as soon as you start growing them that they suddenly magically become illegal for some reason.
Interesting. But the actual
seeds are legal here as long as you haven't interfered with them. If you want to put it that way,
yeah, definitely. I don't know the laws. Here. Yeah,
definitely.
I think it really depends on the. I think it depends on the context and what state you're in. I think different states have different laws, but I don't want to get into that. but essentially, yes.
Needless to say is don't let them search your carpeting in your car, okay? That's what that means.
Or just don't buy weed with seeds in it. There you go. What is this, 1970?
Is that even still available? Like... Yeah, who knows?
I sincerely doubt. I know you can actually buy seeds, but I have not been aware of marijuana being sold legally or illegally that has seeds. Not that I would know. I quit a while ago, but even still then, it was like, seeds? What's that? All right.
You didn't grow up the same decades I grew up, so.
Nope.
Retro.
So stay tuned for more liquid bread lines and scenes and how we're building a festival of Bitcoin and black markets.
Dead holograms.
Venus projectors need not apply.
Ever. Worm.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org. Meow.
broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon, high atop Financial Feast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT nay-government license, and this allows reuse by anybody except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. And I'm Dan Green in that, by the way, and I'm talking to Jim Jesus and James Bab. How's it going, guys?
Worms.
Great.
Nice. So, finding a topic is always difficult, you know, but James loves to do his Queen voice.
Oh my! Oh no!
I get confused sometimes. I think it's herself just walked in the door or something.
Off with their heads!
I don't know what you're just the only one I can joke about this kind of stuff with, Dan, because I don't know, because I guess she thinks that you're her subject or something, which I think is kind of funny.
I am her loving subject. Love that lady.
I asked you to comment on this like article I found from last year. It's not even current, but it was like somebody's questioning. They did some, like, they found, like, some twisted skeleton, and they're like, that's some old monarch dude, and then the DNA doesn't match the queen. What's up with that? Is the queen a bastard? Is that what they're saying? Or what? Could you explain that to me for us non-royals?
Well, obviously, being a royal myself, you know, you'd think I would know more about it. But, like, I've read different things about, like, different claims to the throne. It just shows what nonsense it really is, you know, because, I mean, it depends which way you look at it. And then there's all these, I've seen things before about accusations of, you know, children who were, you know, say, conceived out of wedlock and whatnot, who were related to royals and things, and they're scattered everywhere, believe it or not. And you see all this kind of stuff. It just shows how silly it all is. I mean, what was their surname? It was something German, and they changed it around about the time of World War II. So, like, you know, it's one of these things where it just shows how silly it is, but you would be surprised how much people eat it up here. People love it for some reason.
Is it sort of like a birther conspiracy here where they were like, we haven't seen the president's birth certificate, like questioning his right to rule based on some ridiculous criteria like that?
Well, see, from what I see about people talking about that, like Obama's birth certificate, people seem to really care about that. There is no appetite here for, like, finding out if the Queen's legitimately, I mean, if you can even use that word in this context, but there's no real appetite to find out if she is legitimately the Queen or not, because people, they just don't seem to care. I mean, they're told that's the Queen and that's it.
That's it. Well, you know, can you clear this up for me, Dan? Because I'm really... It's this heritage thing, but I thought they had to like pull a sword out of a stone or something to rule. Where does that fit?
Strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government.
So how does this actually work? Did the queen do something with a sword and a stone, or how would anybody know to worship her?
See, that would be better. Actually, see, bizarrely, there is a thing with a stone, right? I've got to say, there's a thing called the Stone of Destiny, right? I'm not joking. Ooh. Look this up. And, like, it's like all the monarchs have been, like, coronated on it. And there was all this stuff about it would be moved out of Scotland, and that bothered people. And there was a whole big kick-up about it. But, yeah, it's, like, called the Stone of Destiny. I mean, if that's not one of the weirdest things you ever heard. I mean, the whole Parliament's bizarre. You watch it, and, like, you're wondering if you've, like, someone slipped something into your drink, because even when, like, the open parliament, they've got a guy who's dressed like he's from medieval times called Black Rod, who leads everybody in and then bangs a door with a big stick, and then somebody shuts the door in his face, and then he bangs the door again with a big stick. What? This is about to be government? I mean, what's that all about?
That. No, I love that. Hey, it's better than getting hit by the Stone of Destiny. Come on.
Or the Blarney Stone, right?
I love that. I love that kind of attention to props and stuff and costumes. Come on, put on a good show for the people. Come on. What are we paying you for?
I wonder how much we spend on pop. Do you know the Queen has, like, royal bargemen, right? You know, sort of people that are supposed to tend to the royal barge. There isn't a fully functioning royal barge, but she has these weird boatmen anyway. It's weird, man. this is my tax money. This is the other thing. I mean, it seems funny, right? But this is my tax
money. No, it's not your tax money. It's her tax money, okay? It's your privilege to be a subject in her kingdom, right?
In her dominion. I mean, she doesn't even do anything. She just walks about. You know, like, I'd love her. Well, maybe not love it, but, you know, it would be all right, man. Because all she does is just sort of wave at people. And, you know, people, there's all this protocol. Like, people aren't allowed to shout things at her and stuff. There's all this nonsense that goes with it. But see, I mean, in the 90s, there was a time when Diana died and it looked like the monarchy was, you know, starting to lose popularity. But then everyone seemed to forget now that there's a baby instead. No, there's two royal babies, I think. I don't know.
I don't keep a baby.
You wouldn't believe it, man. It's all over every paper, like 8-page photos pull out of this baby. It's creepy and weird.
Well, now, are people going to end up being subjects of this baby eventually?
Yeah, it's the king baby. That baby will rule us all soon, so we have to be nice to that baby.
Start sucking up to him now.
Nice and early.
I saw a news article today saying that the baby said that it was 3 years old. It's two. Those kids, if that was anybody else's kid, America would do a collective just sigh of, we don't care. But because it's royalty, and not even our country, we suddenly care. Explain this.
What is with the American fascination with royalty as well? When they had that royal wedding, there was all these American networks here. We were watching something. It was on an American news station. I can't remember which one, but it was before the royal wedding, and they were saying, we want to give Kate advice on what it's like to be a princess. So they sent a reporter to Disneyland to interview people dressed up as Disney princesses about what it was like to be a princess.
I love it. Now that's good reporting. That's taking that extra step that you can really count on from the major networks.
But wait, can you imagine they got a hologram of the Disney princess instead of someone dressed up as them?
We'll put Princess Di. We'll get her a hologram. If that's too soon, that'd be perfect. We'll put her in the controversial section. It'd be no problem at all.
Oh, you could superimpose her into, like, beside Charles, into every royal family picture every time they come out in that big balcony and wave at us all. They could just put a hologram of Diana between them.
Better, yeah, just let her drive across the stage in a hologramic car.
You're going to get me done for treason. There's going to be, beef eaters and guys with big hats at my door.
You know what? At least we're not going to have the Disney princesses at Jimmy Russell Fest
you could still do it
on stage with Johnny Cash. You know, it'd be great.
Yeah, it's been a while, but was there a princess in Song of the South? We can get that one on. That would work. I think that would work great.
Is that the weird cartoon that is it Big Thunder Mountain and Disneyland's based on?
Yeah.
No, okay, it's not Big Thunder Mountain. What's the log flume one? Splash Mountain?
I think it's called the log ride, isn't it? No.
Splash Mountain.
There we go.
About Florida here, never mind.
So for people who don't know, the Song of the South was a Disney cartoon that was banned in the United States because it depicted the South during slavery. And there was a couple characters that were questionably racist, and they just decided, you know, we're just going to throw that one under the table. But you can find copies of it if you look hard enough. It'd be interesting to see if there was a princess that we can throw up on there. And then we can have our little hologram.
Some Jimmys. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, the Jimmy Russell Fest 9000.
I'm thinking of this.
You know, I was wondering, could Chris Cantwell appear via hologram at Pork Fest? Would that be allowed?
We'll have to ask the mayor of Pork Fest.
Wait, I think somebody would have to evaluate his potential as a role model, and he'd probably be rejected. I'm just
guessing. Oh, boy.
We're setting up a whole new industry here. I mean, look at all the jobs. You're bringing festivals in and all that, and then you've got morality committees. You know, that's all of the jobs right there.
Right, and the enforcement, you know, and some extra jails for Wait a minute, you played that video on your phone. Ho, ho, ho. This is New Jersey.
Chris Crisco is not going to allow that.
I heard he was in Keene, New Hampshire, or somewhere around New Hampshire today. And
yeah, Ian uploaded a video of him, of a video of Ian doing this, you know, the journalism where he jumps in and asks some questions, yells questions at them, and they ignore him. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Did he engage at all? Because sometimes he'll do that. Christy does engage people.
I didn't get a chance to really watch it. I watched the very beginning, and then I had to get ready for something. But it seems that he was just ignoring him. He was just taking photos with people, so I could be wrong.
It would be smart on his part. My friend Ed Forshin in New Jersey likes to ambush Christy a lot about the weed issue, and Ed has a lot of fun. I mean, he'll even do stuff like he mails Chris Christie weed. Okay, like he mails.
Well, I'll waste the weed.
He already has the munchies enough, man. Leave him alone.
Yeah, but. Man, I can't believe that these cartoon characters are paraded around as if they could be American royalty, right? Like, who's really sillier? Which side?
That's the thing. They are just like big cartoon characters. I mean, like, you can't take a politician seriously. You can't look them in the eye and think that they look like real people because they're not. They seem all weird, especially in this country. They're more robotic for some reason. I mean, I'm not saying they are robots, but maybe they are robots. But it strikes that way, you know. Like, I mean, when Gordon Brown was the Prime Minister, it almost took a team to make that man smile. And then when he did smile, it was like some weird uncle staring at you in a corner. You know, it was just...
It's that Disney animatronic technology again.
That's what it's like. I mean, let's just have a holographic world leader.
Oh, why not, right?
It's just because it's got my vote.
And it's run by the Venus Project supercomputer.
Jack,
start getting in line now.
Holographic Fresco. Worms.
Holographic beer lines are forming near you today.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Freedom Fiends, the state's natural Drano. So we were talking about beer earlier, and I was wondering, and I'm here with James Babb and Dan Green. Did you guys hear about this lady in Venezuela who stood in line forever to get toilet paper?
No.
Oh, so eventually she ended up in the shop and noticed that all the shelves were empty. And she asked the store clerk, so I see you're out of toilet paper today. And he says, no, we're the store that's out of beer. The store without toilet paper is across the street. Too soon?
Not soon enough. Wait then, are we doing the Venezuelan joke section? Because it's so I want to know this. Two men are waiting in a food
tragedy.
Queue.
If you can't laugh at tragedy, what can you laugh at? I mean...
Good point. Two men are waiting in a food queue, and one of them finally snaps. That's it, he says. I'm sick of lines. I'm off to shoot Maduro. So with that, he storms off, only to return an hour later, and he jostles back into his spot, and he stands there, and his friend says, did you do it? Did you kill Maduro? And he says, nah, the line to kill Maduro was much longer than this one.
Oh, commie jokes.
Uh,
fueled by this really joke segment.
Think this is going to work? Seriously, isn't it amazing? It's 2015, and people are still trying to learn the lessons of socialism or haven't learned it. I don't get it. Totally don't get it.
I know. It's kind of funny how it, I mean, it just doesn't seem to sink in. It's because people only hear free stuff. You know, I think I said to you in one of our previous shows, people here still think free stuff is great. Despite the fact they can see on the news every night what's going on in Greece, they somehow think, oh, no, that was their socialism. Our socialism doesn't work like that, you know, as if it's different somehow.
Ours is run by a Venus Project supercomputer.
It's like the old communist lie that, like, there's that old communist lie that, like, oh, Trotsky was the good communist, and if only Trotsky had become the leader instead of Stalin, things would have been better because he was cool, you know, he wasn't a crazy murderer like Stalin was, you know. It's that communist
He was
lie
killing those other people, which were kind of bad, or, you know.
Like Trotsky with a pickaxe, which is probably one of my favorite stories from history ever, is Trotsky getting killed by Stalin with a pickaxe in Mexico.
Is that a true story? Weird,
yeah. He was killed by Stalin's henchmen, but...
Not actually Stalin.
Yeah, not actually Stalin.
It would be great if it was Stalin.
I would have at least respected him a little more, because then he would have done his own dirty work instead of paying someone. I was like, if Stalin had walked in with a full uniform on and a pickaxe, you know, like, that would have been dramatic and exciting.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just me. Not sure. But see that whole thing, like, I've got an uncle who's a Trotskyite communist, like, and he totally buys all that, like, that's that total line of just, it was just the whole Stalin thing, you know, and a lot of people do believe that. Like, there's a Socialist Workers' Party here, and there's a lot of sort of, I showed up to one of their meetings drunk once, but that's a whole other story. But, like...
I like the sound of that.
they were all spouting this stuff to me, like, yeah, the Soviet Union failed because of Stalin, and, you know, if you just listen to what Trotsky said. But, you know, you can compare a lot of Trotsky ideas to a lot of neoconservative ideas. You know, it's that crazy thing of let's export revolution everywhere, so it probably would have been worse.
Well, if that was the case, then how come the de-Stalinization program that happened right after he died didn't solve everything? It's like a little bit of an absurd statement.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't try to even import Pepsi. That didn't work.
I remember when I was into that kind of thing, I tried to read some of that Trotsky book, The Revolution Betrayed, and the first so many chapters are just him giving statistics about, like industrial stats, you know, like, we produced this much for this much, you know, and it's just so boring, man. You're like, is this what grabs people?
Well, just imagine trying to be the guy to sit back and figure it all out. Like, well, how much iron do we need? Okay. Send those villages into the mines. Well, how much food do we need? I don't know. How about 100 bushels of barley? How's that sound? Give it a shot. Let's see if they starve. Uh-oh.
Oh.
Oh, no.
A mulligan on that one.
But, you know, at least, you know, here, you know, the government, like, unlike America, the government doesn't even distribute the bread, right? Or the liquid bread. The beer.
Yeah. Things are bad in communist countries, but in America, they don't even give you holographic beer.
On that note,
holographic beer.
That's another Indiegogo campaign.
I'm going to import this on the SS Freedom Fiends.
You know, maybe if we had the Fiend supercomputer, like, run everything.
You're listening
right?
to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
For some reason in this country, and in a bunch of Western world, it's okay to just judge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created Fiend Phone. I'm using Fiend Phone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about Fiend Phone.
Fiend Phone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com. But we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's FiendPhone.com. FiendPhone.com. Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Phone.com.
FiendPhone. I never knew remote audio could be this good.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends with Dan Green in Scotland and Jim Jesus in Nevada. And I'm Jim Babb here on the coast of Maine.
I told you, triggers trigger me, man.
So, guys, you guys saw this this article from Photography Is Not a Crime, Carlos Miller's excellent website. This article, Carlos really nailed the subject of this. The title is American Police Lying Extends to Smartphone Apps. Did you guys check this out?
Cops lying? What?
Well, do you guys use the Waze phone app to help avoid speed traps and whatnot?
No, I should. Okay,
W-A-Z-E. I bet it probably even works in Scotland, for all I know. It's a great free app. You can run it on your phone, and it's like a GPS program, like a Garmin. But it also alerts you to police or other bandit activity in your neighborhood. So you're driving along. It says, warning, police reported ahead. And if the cop is there, you give it a thumbs up. And if it's not there anymore, you click an X to say it's not there anymore. So it works great. Okay, it's a wonderful app, but as you can imagine, the police get really grumpy.
Police grumpy?
They got their feelings hurt. Okay, so this is from the article. USA Today reports that many police officers, including LA Police Chief Charlie Beck, are concerned with the police tracking feature. In a letter he wrote to Google, which owns Waze, Beck voiced his concern that the feature could be misused by criminals in an attempt to harm police. So their argument is that, like, hey, the people that want to hurt police could use this app to find a cop. Like, whoa, that's a little too dangerous. Now, it just struck me as a little bit odd because, first of all, most people have a Dunkin' Donuts in their town, so if you need to find a cop, it's easy, right? But let's just say you don't have one immediately in your neighborhood. There's a number you can call, and they will deliver a cop to wherever you are, okay?
Police delivery? What?
It's called 911. You do not need the Waze app, okay?
Yeah, that's what my first reaction was. Why is it so hard to find a cop? If you can't find one, call one.
Of course it's not hard to find a cop, right? So their argument is completely ridiculous. So anyway, evidently hundreds of Miami police officers aren't happy with Waze's police finding feature. Well, it's cutting in on their racket, right? Like it's harder for them to shake down motorists if they can't sneak up on people. So according to NBC Miami, a number of cops in the city are taking matters into their own hands, downloading the app and inundating it with fake police sightings. Okay, so thus the headline: American Police Lying Extends to Smartphone Apps. Like, what part of protect and serve does this fall under?
I guess they're protecting and serving their their fundraising campaign. I think sooner or later they're going to end up having to sell cookies outside of grocery stores or popcorns if they're boys. But I think that's what we're going to end up having to see, hopefully.
But, you know, it's a testament to what a great app this is. And, you know, it's not a perfect app because you sort of, like, trade a little bit of your privacy because you let it know where you are, and it monitors your speed to help other drivers know what the traffic rate is. So it actually works great to route you around traffic jams, cops, closed roads. It's quite clever. But
I like the excitement of driving and not knowing where the traffic's going to be. That's what keeps me going during boarding drives.
You like that? And there is the excitement when I drive in New Jersey. It's like, okay, which overpass is he? Oh, it turns out they're behind every overpass, so you don't really have to worry.
I think there's other bits of excitement about driving around in New Jersey other than the police.
Oh. You know, the thing is, like, when I drive around Maine, I'm looking out for mooses and not cops. Like, it's refreshing to know that it's only like a 1,400-pound beast that can kill you instantly. But I feel a lot safer around mooses than cops.
It's refreshing.
I actually work in a place that's it's not far away from a police training college, and it's a nightmare, man, because like that's where like train people, like they bring people out to like where around about the area I'm working in, and I'm driving about in my van, and all of a sudden there's like 10 cops being shown how to pull people over and stuff. It's a nightmare, man. Seriously,
and you'd think it'd be all right. Taser a pregnant woman, you know.
Oh, you!
How to knock a young black child off his bicycle with your car door? You know, that's the kind of stuff they learn. Horrible. Or that way, that's what they learned here. I don't know what they're learning in Scotland. They're probably very polite over there.
No, they are not very polite over here. That's the last thing the police are over here. Oh, they act like they're polite.
Don't they hardly murder anybody? Like, how many people did they murder? Like, they might not have even murdered anybody today.
That's the thing, right? See, because they don't have guns, they've got to act as hard as possible, you know, to get the message across. So they come up to you and they go, "Excuse me, sir," and all this with the crazy eyes and stuff like that. That's what you've got to do. I mean, they do have big sticks, and all they do is get on their walkie-talkie, and an armed tactical response team comes anyway. I mean, they're not armed in theory, but it doesn't take long to get one of these armed response teams somewhere, so technically they are.
Well, and if that doesn't work, they have the tactical bagpipe team that can come in and clear the vicinity. It was banned by the Geneva Convention, but they still do it.
You know, I've seen English bobbies, and there's nothing really intimidating about that uniform. Maybe they should do what they do here and just get them all dressed in black, no hat, shave their head, give them some Oakleys, and just throw them out on the streets. And that'll scare them. That'll scare them. Give them a bulletproof vest. Good to go.
Because I used to sometimes watch that show. It was called To Catch a Predator. It was like part of a Dateline investigation. Do you know what I'm talking about? And like the police on that were so crazy because it was basically like they would set up a sting to lure people who were trying to meet underage kids for sex online, and they would lure them to the house and have a fake teenager. Then Chris Hansen would come out and he'd be like, "So what are you doing here tonight?" And all this kind of thing. And then they would get arrested outside. But the police were always
take a seat over there.
I was surprised by the police and that. I don't know if they were playing up for the cameras, right? But it was always like a guy would just put his hands up when he got out and they'd shout like, "Stop resisting!" And like five of them would dive on top of him and he'd just be lying there and they'd be like, "Stop resisting!" And the poor guy was like face on the ground and stuff. It was terrible, man.
Well, they're just working on their next promotion, you know, you're like really, you know, play it up.
It was one where the guy had like burgers or something and they were like, "Put the bag down!" Like, you know, just like two burgers or something.
Step away from the fries. Well, you know, they actually did that kind of sting in Pennsylvania. And this is the funny thing. It's like, yeah, they can't do anything right, okay? Like, we're going to get some child predators. So they do this sting operation, and they end up importing predators from other states into Pennsylvania, hoping to arrest them. But but they don't actually catch them all. So they're actually bringing in more like child rapists into the state as part of their service.
You know, this the last line of this thing is great. It says, however, one person at Photography Is Not a Crime newsroom had one good suggestion to combat this dishonesty that they're posting about ways, you know, the fake news cop traps. Perhaps we could put a fake donut shop tags into ways.
You know, it's kind of a shame that Google owns this app now, because I don't really feel like Google's going to really go out of their way to make sure that this algorithm is protecting us from unscrupulous cops. Like, I don't know. What do you think? Do you think we can trust them to try to... Because they have an algorithm that's supposed to favor accurate reporting. Think we can trust that?
I think we can trust the algorithm, but I think it's the reporting back that they're so willing to do all the time when it comes to the state. Like anytime they ask them to turn over information, they just do so, you know, willy-nilly. They don't care. They just cooperate on command. And that's a little bit more concerning than anything else. So them turning over the data logs that say, like, oh, you were speeding on this highway at 2:15 on Saturday. And now they can issue a ticket. Like, well, you just pulled up the Google data, and according to what they said, they said that you were speeding. So we're going to go by that.
Right.
And I think
so
that's
when you
a little
sign
more
up for this app, yeah, just do it. You know, try to do it as anonymously as possible. I think that's a key, and to you know, try to keep your actual information minimized as to what you hand them.
Mm-hmm. But you know,
holographic police—that's the way to go.
Whoa. Yeah.
See, it's just there's so many uses for it, you know. And you might say, well, hold on, how could holographic police actually stop anyone? Give them holographic bagpipes and it would play the sound, so the sound would incapacitate anyone within a radius until the physical police showed up. See, I've thought about this.
And we can get him a gig. Scotland. We can fund this by giving him a gig at the festival, and we, you know, it'll be paid for. We don't have to use tax money. It'll be completely voluntary. This is perfect.
Mm. Would we need lots of hologram cops or just one massive hologram cop?
Just having them walk across the city like King Kong. Holographic debris like flying everywhere.
I'm picturing the Stay Puft Man from Ghostbusters, but you know, the same bloated, like clumsy character that's just destroying the city.
But then we need to create a hologram to stop the giant holographic cop. It seems like it would never end at one point.
I think we've already kind of covered this a little bit. Didn't we already talk about a holographic Chris Cantwell? Oh,
yeah.
Too soon?
We did. That was us.
Never. Never.
So if there's anyone who runs one of these companies that make these holograms, we're very interested in purchasing several thousand.
Especially once we hook it up to the Venus Project supercomputer, okay? Just imagine the possibility.
Worms.
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 You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And Ewan's listening to the Freedom's Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons. And you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And Ask Me About My Worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1 1/4 inch, now they're 1 3/4 inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network. a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Freedom Fiends, bringing liberty via holographic cops. I'm here with Jim Babb and Dan Green, and it's time for some redemption. And James, I think you got some redemption for us, don't you?
Yes, this is in the department of anarcho-holographism. No, this is actually real. And this is, we're going to go full circle, bring it back to Rahm Emanuel in Chicago. This is the headline. I kid you not. Chicago police tow vehicle with dead body hanging out window, sparking anger in community. another big victory for Rahm Emanuel. In his quest to select proper role models for his community.
Why did they have to put a spark anger in the community? I thought that would be implied. You know,
we know one group that can't get
a deceased body in it. Oh man. Anyway, it was actually hanging out the window.
Please tell me there's pictures of this.
There's a video of some kind of protest, evidently, but check it out at photographysnotacrime.com. You know, somebody says only in Chicago.
How did the body get to be hanging out the window? It's just.
That's probably to figure this where the cops shot him. You know, I don't know. Oh man,
I'm trying to work this out. This is going to annoy me all day. I'll be at work and I'll be thinking, how does that? Like, how would he get?
He's probably trying to escape a barrage of gunfire, of poorly aimed shots fired in the direction of his vehicle. And it turns out, yes, and the victims will no longer be allowed to appear as holograms in rap shows. So he's covered that. So okay, seems like everything's going to work out fine.
The police told the Chicago Sun-Times that sometimes they leave the bodies in vehicles to protect the integrity of the crime scene. So letting him just dangle outside of the body, that nothing bad will ever happen.
Right, they're doing it for integrity. Why did you leave the body dangling out the window? For integrity.
Yeah. It's that Chief Keef we have a problem with, okay?
Well, you know, to be fair, they might not have known if the weapons and drugs had been planted on the bodies yet. So they have to proceed with caution.
We found holographic drugs and weapons all over.
Okay, so now we're getting into snow crash territory.
Speaking of ridiculous city parking officials, Philadelphia, I saw an announcement from Philadelphia's getting a visit from the Pope pretty soon. And it seems like who have they put in charge of it? The Philadelphia Parking Authority has like seized control of downtown of Center City and is like shutting down the highways and created a security perimeter throughout the entire like downtown. And I mean, they're already like the Gestapo of Philly. Of the Philly government. They're like the nastiest, meanest, most revenue generating agency that they've got. And so hey, come see the Pope.
Well, at least we can have a new way of giving the Pope some integrity. All we gotta do is just throw a corpse in the back of his car and let it dangle out a little bit, right? There we go.
If the Pope's smart, he will send the hologram in his place.
This is too much.
The holographic Pope.
A holographic Pope with the holographic dead body hanging out of the Pope mobile.
Yeah.
Redemption, I don't know what.
Put that in your Pope and smoke it.
Somewhere there's someone who's really like, I need to give up drugs. I'm just going to come off the drugs. I'm going to sit and listen to the radio and calm down. And he's going to be like, I'm freaking out, man. You can't be saying that on the radio. Something's not right here.
They just went back to crystal meth.
That's what the Freedom Fiends will do for you.
Holographic blue sky.
The natural
holographic Heisenberg. So I'm glad we brought some redemption. I'm redeemed. How about you guys?
Absolutely.
Sure.
Holographic redemption.
It's been a great time.
Can go too far at one point, can't it?
Yeah, holographic redemption. I love it. Good times with you guys.
As always.
As always. Worms.
Worms.